Well, hello, and welcome to Remember God Loves You, and I'll meet you at the finish line. Well, I hope you guys are having a blessed day, because I know I am, because today is a day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and praise and be glad in it. And God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. You know, there's something upon my heart, and that's, I think it's important for us to like really focus on and just be grateful. It is being held in God's arms. You know, what is it like when something happens? When we face a travesty and when we hold on to God for peace and comfort, there's something that goes over us. There's something that rushes over us in the peace and assurance, knowing that everything is going to be okay. And with this in mind, this brings into a special verse in continuation of our study of A Guide to Lent, which is our focal point of journeys we go. We are all going to encounter those kind of journeys. The journeys where we have struggles and the journeys where we are battling each and every day. But on the other hand, we always have God on our side. And we're going to read in Psalms 94 about being in God's arms. And with this in mind, we're going to start off with the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. We thank you that we can just come here in reverence of you, Lord. May you guide us and protect us as we continue on the journey that you have set before us. That when we face struggles, when we face trials, and when we face tribulation, Lord, I pray that you provide us comfort. I pray that you just give us assurance and give us peace over our hearts. Because you are a merciful Father. Lord, I also pray that no matter what happens, you are sovereign at the end of the day. I also pray that no matter what happens, Lord, that we continue to look upon you for guidance and for peace, because you are a merciful Father. So may you protect us as we continue on, as we push forward and be disciples unto others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. So Psalms 94 reads off in verse 1, states, "The Lord is a God who avenges. O God who avenges, shine forth. Rise up, judge of the earth. Pay back to the proud what they deserve. How long, Lord, will the wicked, how long will the wicked be jubilant?" I find that to be interesting when we start reading that off. When 94 reads off in verse 1, "The Lord is a God who avenges." That is one thing that, to me, it sends a very, very, very clear message. God avenges those who sin against him. God avenges those who disobey his commands. God avenges those who turn their backs on him. And God avenges those who are disobedient. And it's interesting because I don't want to face the vengeance of God. Because the vengeance of God is probably being casted out. It's not being probably, it is being casted out into the lake of fire. That is the avengers. And as we continue on in verse 4, they pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers are full of boasting. They crush your people, Lord. They oppress your inheritance. They slay the widow and the foreigner. They murder the fatherless. They say, "The Lord does not see. The God of Jacob takes no notice." And we're going to continue on before we stop. In verse 8 states, "Take notice, you senseless ones among the people, you fools, when will you become wise? Does he who fashioned the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Does he who disciplines nation not punish? Does he who teach mankind lack knowledge? The Lord knows all human plans. He knows that they are futile." So from 4 to 11, has a lot of things for us to chew on. One of the things I absolutely think is kind of interesting is in verse 4, they pour out arrogant words, and all the evildoers are full of boasting. And I find it to be interesting how we, even some of us in tendencies, and even I have a problem, and at times boast about the things I've done. Boast that, hey, I got to pray with somebody today, and I was so glad, and that's all I focus on, and I'm boasting on people and say, wasn't it cool? And that's completely wrong. We're not supposed to be boasting, because that is not worshiping God, and that's not being obedient unto God. And it's interesting because a lot of people also think that they can run and hide from God. And that they can think that, you know, just become, they think that they have to learn more, they know more, they study, they research, and the list can go on. But do they really know what God is thinking? I mean, realistically, do they really know how God interacts with other people? They do not. And that's the thing that I just find to be interesting in this day and age, in that God knows everything and we don't. And I find it to be also fascinating how you have other countries around the world putting up other gods, worshiping other gods, and thinking this is the only God that they have, and that they're placing the big God, our God that we believe, or the God, the one and only, downgrading him to a small g. And saying, well, no, you believe your God. That's what your God has. But my God is, my God loves everybody. Doesn't matter who they are. But they're missing the valid point. And it's interesting because a lot of us interpret different gods. A lot of us think that we have to put in a void to think that, oh, you know what? I'm going to create one because I feel that's just right. You know, we looked at how they built the golden calf and they worshipped it. And that was their God. And that was very, that was poor, poorly made. Take notice. Verse 8 states, take notice, you senseless ones among the people, you fools, when you become wise. That word fools, that's never a good term when you're being called a fool. Blessed is the one you discipline, Lord. The one you teach from your law. You grant them relief from the days of trouble till a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. The judgment will again be founded on righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Verse 16, who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers? Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation has brought me joy. I absolutely love that in verse 19. When anxiety was great within me, when anxiety was controlling my life, when anxiety was telling me, don't be worried about this person, or when anxiety was telling me, God isn't really there. That's the problem. In verse 20, can a corrupt throne be allied with you? A throne that brings on misery by its decrees. The wicked band together against the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my fortress and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. He will repay them for their sins and destroy them for their wickedness. The Lord our God will destroy them. Amen. Amen. And the Lord our God will win the battle at the end of the day. Anyway, you might not see a win, but God wins. Because he loves you and he cares for you. And God is very compassionate, and he is shows his mercy upon us. So there's also, you know, when reading into being to be held in God's arms, when reading into this, Psalms 94, you're probably thinking, how did that relate to being held in God's arms? And while reading that, there was another verse that came up, and that was Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which people prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2:10. How awesome is that? With reading Psalms 94 and even Ephesians 2:10 just now, people have already paved a way, and God's already paved a way for you to do work, to do good's work. God's already paved a way by bringing you brothers and sisters to walk alongside with you. God's already paved that way for you. Now, all we have to do is accept and start on that journey. Because the journey, you don't have to cut anything down. You don't have to do a single thing except walk on the journey and stay faithful and stay committed unto God. Amen and amen. So I absolutely love this by, there's a quote by Arthur Marcina Whitaker. She states, "Oh God, help me to believe that truth about myself, no matter how beautiful it is. Oh God, help me to believe the truth about myself, no matter how beautiful it is." Amen. And that, oh God, I absolutely love that by her. One of the hardest things for any of us to believe is a beautiful truth about ourselves. We readily embrace the negative messages about ourselves, but find it challenging to embrace the beauty. What I mean by that is, a lot of us are so hard on ourselves, and a lot of us are so negative upon ourselves. So it's easier for us to be negative. It's easier for us to be hard on ourselves and degrade ourselves. When we make a mistake and when we slip up on our walk with God, it is so easy for us to be discouraging upon us. It's so easy for us to put shame and guilt upon us because we know that we've messed up. And it is so easy for us to be discouraged and say, "All right, hands up, I'm walking away." It's so easy for us to do that. It is hard for us to be encouraging, and it is hard for us to uplift people. Because when we uplift people, we have to pretty much make sure that our life is in the right order. And that's the thing that I also want to break that stigma. If you want to uplift people, you don't have to make sure your life is in order. All you have to do is make sure that God is upon your side and that you are focused on God and His plan set before you. And do the basic things. Give praise when He get up. Give thanksgiving. Give thanksgiving at the end of the day. Pray for somebody, interact with somebody new, and share your testimony, a 30-second testimony, even a 2-minute testimony of how you accepted Him and how He changed your life from then to now. That is the biggest thing that we have to look at in our life today. And it is interesting because that beauty is so hard to find in us. It's so hard to find that beauty, and that's where the other gods come in. Saying, "Well, it doesn't matter because even God made mistakes. Even God is not perfect." And I've heard people say that Jesus even made mistakes by getting angry. He even sinned. Well, he didn't sin at all. He was a righteous man. And not only that, but he got angry, but it was in righteous anger. There is such a thing as being righteous anger. So I find it also in St. Paul, as St. Paul says, rich, because of God's kindness to us in Christ. We are rich because God shows us mercy. He shows us grace. We are rich in His mercy and in His grace. Each of us is crafted with skill and purpose by God for God's purpose. We do not need to be like anyone else or do what anyone else does because each of us are a unique tool. After all, we are God's handiwork. Amen. And amen. And this continues on stating that the comparison I make between me and others are unhelpful. I might think someone is good enough and they disagree. I may think I'm not good enough. And someone else may say, put me on a pedestal. That's why I also find us to be interested, because when we think that we are, there's a point where we are degradeful in ourselves, we talk down upon ourselves, we are upset about ourselves, and we go to somebody and we're like, man, I am upset about myself, I'm just distraught by myself. And the really sad part is that a lot of us then get put up on a pedestal, and some of us don't mean to, but there's other people that purposely get on the pedestal, which is a very unhealthy relationship with God. And that means you're putting God on the wayside and you're putting yourself in God's place, which is a very, very dangerous thing. And that's why it's very important that we are not hard on ourselves, and that we're not hard on ourselves when we're talking to other people. We're not hard on ourselves when we share the weaknesses with our brothers and sisters. Because when we do, sometimes we can talk in circles and we can feel so distraught about ourselves and we can feel just sick about ourselves, which will therefore lead to, oh, it's okay, you know, you're doing great, and therefore the pedestal comes up. In the season of Lent, we are invited to intentionally become aware of the truth of our beauty. We are urged to let go of unhelpful definitions and comparisons about our life. Instead, we are invited to welcome God's grace, which makes us good enough and offers us life in abundance. I have never forgotten watching a new parent hold their small child in their arms. And that is something that you always remember. The face of the parent glowing in awe as they look with love-filled eyes and a deep, joyful smile at their child in their arms. This is a powerful picture of how God sees us and how God sees you. God doesn't see you holding in it. God doesn't see you holding in his arms saying, ah, oh, well, look at this person. They're making faults and all that. No, God, he loves you, and he's got that tears of joy knowing that you are a child of his. And even when you come to Christ, he is filled with happiness. He is filled with joy. And just like how your brothers and sisters are filled with joy as well. We are looked upon with the same intimacy and embraced in the arms of loving care as a parent does their child. The child is more than good enough, and so are we in God's arms. You are good enough in God's arms. You don't need to change your ways. Well, actually you do. You don't need to do a drastic change, but you need to change enough where you are growing and stronger in your relationship with God. And with this in mind, we're going to wrap it up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. We thank you that we can just come here in reverence of you, Lord. I'm so blessed to be called your child. I'm so blessed to just be obedient unto you, Lord. Lord, I remember what you did on the cross for us, and I couldn't be more proud to be your child. I couldn't be more proud to be held in your arms and to have you looking down and just be happy of your son. Lord, I pray that whatever the downfalls, the hindrance, I pray that that can be knocked off, Lord. That can be broken down so that we're not so hard on ourselves and we can be looking at ourselves with just mercy, with humility, Lord. And I just pray that you give us the right words to impact other lives. You give us the right words to share the gospel with people that do not know who you are, Lord, because you are a merciful Father. Lord, may you hear our prayers and give us the strength and the energy to continue the path that you have set before us, so that when we cross that finish line, Lord, we can run into your arms and we can hear you say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I hope you guys have a blessed day. And remember, you are a child of God, and God is so blessed that you are in his family. And God is that, like that parent of a newborn child, filled with love and filled with tears of joy when you walk into his presence. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Remember, God loves you, and I'll meet you at the finish line. Bye.